few years ago, we had a baptism. I think it was at Easter Sunday. Well, we had some palm trees here. Do you remember? I think Ann Dawson has made them, or whoever made them at that time. And as we were baptizing people, one of the palm trees fell in. Do you remember that? Some of you will remember that. How can we forget that? So whenever, even yesterday when I was thinking about the service today, you know, that image came into my mind, came popping up as the palm tree just came over. Nothing of the sort next Sunday, nothing of the sort. Let's just come and bring our prayers of intercession before the Lord this morning, before he hear, before I share a few thoughts from God's word with you. Heavenly Father, it is indeed a privilege of our lives, hearts, of our walk with you to be here in your presence on this special day where we remember how Jesus started his journey, what it would be, one of suffering, of pain, yet one of victory and triumph. We thank you for revealing to us the extent of your love for us in Christ through that cross and then to an empty tomb, revealing that love to us day by day through your Holy Spirit that now lives within our hearts and lives, lives within our city, within our church, within our neighborhoods, in our homes and families. It is because we know how faithful you are, how loving and compassionate you are, that we come before you. We come to worship you, we come to proclaim and affirm yet again that you are our King, our Messiah, and our Lord, our Shepherd. We thank you that through the Holy Spirit we can confess that you are Christ, a servant King, nevertheless the King of Kings, our Lord, yet the Lord of Lords, the King of creation, the God of all. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here and worship you. We pray for and continue to pray for people in our fellowship who, for one reason or another, they are struggling with health issues, those who are struggling financially, or even those who are struggling in their walk with you spiritually. We pray for your presence with them and within them. We pray that through your Holy Spirit you'll speak to our church, to our leaders, and continue to guide us and lead us into the future, into your mission, both around our city here and the communities where you have placed us to live and the place of work where we go to share, to earn our bread and to be a witness to your grace. We pray for those who this world will find it difficult for many reasons. We pray for our government, we pray for our country, we pray for those who work hard in hospitals, universities, different places of work. We pray for missionaries all over the world. We remember those who are serving in Africa, especially this week. We thank you for those girls who have been liberated from Kaduna State in Nigeria. We pray that you bring comfort to those parents and comfort and peace to that country. We pray again for your peace between Israel and Gaza, Russia and Ukraine. As we pray to alleviate famine in South Sudan. Lord, we see as we open our TVs the images of famine, conflict, wars. But we also see among and the back of that hatred, anger, bereavement, pain, tears, children, people abandoned and rejected, carrying deals, a great deal of pain with them. Lord, at the moment we are living in a very challenging situations in different places and different throughout the world. You are the King of Kings who came in peace to bring peace from Jerusalem to the whole world. A humble servant king, and we pray for that peace that will be spread throughout the world today. Lord, we pray for Hattie, who will be baptized next Sunday, that you will bless her, that you will protect her, look after her and the children and the family. We thank you for her courage and boldness to come and testify to your goodness and your grace and to share her journey with us. What a privilege is to witness that yet again, that Christ has died and is risen and his spirit is at work in our lives today. We worship you. We worship you. Our thoughts now turn to ourselves and we confess our own wrongdoings, things that we said or we done that have been displeasing to you. In the quietness of our heart, we make room for the King of Kings to come. Father, forgive us when sometimes we, like the crowd, sing Hosanna and put everything at your feet, but yet at other times we, again with the crowds, cry, crucify him, crucify him. Yet we know that those words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, echo today, have touched our lives right now. And yet, because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we come before you knowing that you heal us, forgive us, transform us, still call us to obey, to follow, and to praise. What a King, what a God, what a Lord, what a friend we have in you. Pray for my brothers and sisters here present, those who are struggling with the different issues of life, from relationships to children to finance to health issues. May your Holy Spirit be at work in them and in each one of us. And as we experience this morning the freshness, the touch, the joy of your Holy Spirit, may we continue to bring honor, glory, and praise to the King of Kings, to your Majesty. Live and serve and worship and praise your Majesty, your honor, your glory, your Son through the Holy Spirit. May we continue to do so with all that we have and we are, with our hearts, with our families, throughout our city, in our world today. May we continue to worship you. Amen. Please be seated. As I was looking to prepare for this message, sometimes I do struggle, and I think this week has been one of those things where I struggle to come with something creative for Palm Sunday after preaching for about 30 years on Palm Sunday messages as such. It's difficult to, but anyway, the Lord has shown me something that I'd like to share with you this morning. But one of the things that I felt was, as I was reading to prepare, was that when Jesus came into Jerusalem and he told the disciples to go and bring that colt, that donkey, they obey to go, and the owner of that donkey obey to give. And I think this is the life that, or this is what actually summarizes what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to go and to give, to go into the whole world, to teach and to give an account of the hope that is within us, to give glory to God as we go, as we share peace, joy, hope to a broken world. But another aspect, as I was preparing for the message, I was reading this commentary on this very passage in Matthew, is that those who took branches, like they spun branches, and I don't know if this Pauline that made those, yeah, thank you ever so much. Whenever they went, and the people, the crowds that welcomed Jesus, they didn't just throw them like this. They didn't, because you couldn't do that with a Roman official, because that's what they were meant to do. They were made for the Roman officials, but this was another king. So when they actually did it, whether he was a Roman official, whether this on this occasion was Jesus, they would have done this and lay very gently as the king was passing by. To throw it down would have been an offense, a huge offense. I bow before your majesty. Very symbolic. And I love that we have those palm branches rather than the palm trees over there, Pauline, so thank you. Thank you for that. And this is what the message of Palm Sunday is. Gently coming before a God, a king who was so misunderstood. Up to this moment in time, people follow Christ because they've seen a lot of the miracles that he's done, healings, freeing people from demon possession, preaching to them, feeding them, and they were curious now to see who this King of Kings is. And on this specific Palm Sunday, as Jesus was coming, only a few days before that, they would have heard that this is the guy who brought Lazarus out of that tomb and brought him back to life. So many of them came curiously, okay, to bring some palms, but to see who this King of Kings really is. And Jesus had one mission, the mission to save. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. This is what Zechariah tells us. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. And our privilege, our joy, our incredible honor is to worship him. Hosanna, King of Kings. Hosanna, King of Kings. The Son of David. This is not exactly what they did. When they shouted Hosanna, they would have waved this. And then as the words were pronounced, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they would have laid this down as a sign of worship, proskuneo. Worship is always about kneeling down, about surrendering fully to the Lord. A gentle king, a righteous king. That triumphant entry was an almost acted parable in which Jesus was sending a clear message to the nation of Israel, but to the whole world. This is what I am. I am your king, but I am not the king you are expecting. I am not that kind of king. And if you will know the story, I'm not going to dwell too much on it, but you know that Jesus, as he was marching in, as he arrived into Jerusalem, and looked over the city, and he wept. He wept for the city, he wept for the people there. He wept for their understanding, for their disbelief, mistrust, wept for their situation in which they were, wept for their sins, wept for their pain, wept. And only the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus wept as he came into Jerusalem. The other don't mention. The other mention different things at different times. But the disciples praise him openly. The children praise him innocently. And the crowd cheer him. But they don't really understand who this king was. And that leaves us with one group out of those. And those were the religious leaders, who, again, they understood that this Jesus is going to be such a big king that he's going to bring peace and liberation from the Roman oppression at the time, and that he will bring and restore Israel to full power and to full glory as he was in the days of David. And those rulers, those Pharisees and people from the Sanhedrin at the time, the zealots, they were a bit confused because this is not the king that they expected. At least they expected him to come on a white stallion, but not on a colt, nor on a donkey. Not even on a donkey, on a colt, the colt of a donkey. So you imagine a small little colt where Jesus' feet are hanging down on the floor almost. Laughable. No armor, no sword, no anything on him. So that's an image that Jesus wanted to portray to his disciples, to the world, that this is the kind of king that he was going to be. Why did Jesus endure the last events of his life? Because from this we move to the Passover meal, that what we call Maundy Thursday, where he is betrayed. Afterwards, goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. There he prays, is betrayed. Then he is led to Golgotha, where he is crucified, where he is nailed on that cross. It's interesting that in this passage that John read for us, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and asked, who is this? Who really is this? Because this is not the king that we expected to be. This is not the God that we want to worship. We want someone who is triumphant and powerful. And yet Jesus wants to change that image. Why did Jesus have to go to this Passion Week, what we call Passion Week? And I think there are different reasons for that. What kind of king was he? Triumphant? Healer? For many, it was the one who fed them, who healed their diseases, who cast out demons of them. For many, that's what he was. But all those small little acts of kindness and goodness and miracles, whatever you want to call them, they were pointing to the biggest act of all, the death, his death on a cross for our sins. What kind of God? I believe that during this week, Jesus portrays exactly what God is like. The week of Passion, Jesus portrays that this is a God who feels rejection, pain, agony, tears, loneliness. This is a God who understands his people, works with his people, is alongside them. The road to resurrection is paved with rejection. Always has, always will be. Jesus showed them how to cast out demons, how to even feed the 5,000 and so on, how to heal the sick, how to perform miracles. But on this last week, he showed them something else. He showed them a God that will suffer, will cry, will be beaten, will be rejected, will be mocked, spat on. This is not the God that they wanted to see or hear about, that they wanted to follow. They all were stunned, surprised. Very few understood who Jesus really was and why did he come for. He prepared for 3 years before this final wake to do this in few days, in 4 days, to die and another seventh or the third day as he comes from the death back to life. Palm Sunday is not just a historical event, but a perspective and a present experience. Look at that question, who is this? I've asked this in a different way last week through our journey in wilderness. How do we respond? How do we worship God when he seems absent, when he's not there? Who is this guy? Who is this God? Who is this Jesus that is suffering? That is dying? That he takes the punishment, all punishment, on himself? The cross says, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I want to ask you this morning, who is this Jesus for you? It's a nice, good, biblical figure that we teach about, we talk about, we pray to, and trying to trust with all our heart. But I also believe that they are distorted images of God who always interfere in between who Christ is and how he is portrayed in the scripture to what we believe him to be. There's a lot of, if I were to ask you who God is for you, really, you will shout at me and say, oh, he is my Father, he is my God, he is my friend, he is my Lord. And I'm sure this, you know, is true. And I love you for that. But really, if I wanted to ask you again, tell me who really God is really for you at times of challenges, difficulties, darkness. I can share some of mine that I found over time that I had to put back and right in my walk with him. I found that at times God was very impossible to please, because I grew up in a society where he said, unless you become a doctor or a lawyer or a university lecturer or something like that with high profile, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. And for me, God seemed for a long, long time someone who is on a ladder, and the more you climb, the further up he goes. And you can never please him because he was never good enough. Whatever I did was never good enough. God was somehow that little inner voice that always says, it's not good enough, work harder. Can you worship a God who says, it's not good enough? Can you kneel down and say, I worship you, Hosanna to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords? It's difficult. It's difficult. And there are a number of verses, like in Psalm 103, it reminds us that Christ is not like that. That he forgives all our sins, he heals all our diseases, he crowns us with splendor and beauty. Psalm 139, it says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made, and he loves us and he knows us in and out. Who is this God for you on this Palm Sunday? Some of you could say he's a very distant God. Very distant. How many of you have grown up with that stupid, I don't know how to call it, advice from parents, whatever, says big boys and big girls don't cry. Just chin up, man up. Those messages from our experiences of childhood or whatever create shame, the way we need to be strong at all times. We must show vulnerability. As a result of this distance, many people develop, including myself over the years, an image of God as very unsympathetic, very distant, aloof, cold. People who experience such emotional distance may ask, how could God understand my problem? How could he get close to me? Does he even care about what I feel? It could be that God seems really, really far away, very disinterested God. Yesterday, when the father of Damilola Taylor, who was killed as a teenager 24 years ago, died, in the paper was saying these words, I just wish my parents would give me some attention. I feel so alone. These are some of the last words that Damilola Taylor recorded in his small little diary coming back from school that day. The words of a young boy. Parents, people, we are very busy people. Our lives are full of anxiety about work, money, relationships. We have the world to put right, socks to put into the proper drawers at home, clean the house, bring the money in, go out for a pint or whatever. We fail sometimes to communicate interest in one another, including our children. And those who experience this kind of relationship, they also think that God is a very disinterested, very cold God. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Really? And I don't want to dwell on that last one, because for that some of you will find pain in this, but all I want to say is that many a times children who suffer abuse have asked the question, do you love me? Do you love me? In order to experience that answer, children need attention, affection, guidance from their parents. We need to. I'm not sure whether it's better to grow up with an abusive parent or without one, like in my case. Unfortunately, many children experience abuse instead of affection and harsh punishment, instead of guidance and gentleness, from physical to behavioral to mental to spiritual abuses do happen. Children who suffer that, people who suffer abuse, people who are today, whether child or adult, in abusive relationship, cannot take a palm, bring it to the King and say, you are the King of Kings, because I don't see you like that. Why have you allowed for that in my life to happen? How can I shout to you, Lord of Lords, when you have allowed for this to happen? I'm going to stop here, because this, I know, could be painful for some of you. How do I know God will keep his promises? How do I know that he listens to me? How do I know he will answer me or help me? And of course, one of the biggest is the God who abandons rejection. And I come back to the beginning of this message. This week, Jesus wanted to show them that, okay, I perform healing, I perform miracles, I fed you, I healed you, I touched you, I worked with you, I was with you, I preached, I taught you. But this week, I want to show you another different kind of King. That I am the one who suffers with you, who understands your pain, who has been rejected, betrayed, beaten, nailed, and yet alive forevermore. Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, ends his account of this triumphal entry by telling us that after Jesus entered Jerusalem, He went to the temple, but because it was so late in the day, no one was there. So he left Jerusalem with his disciples, went back to Bethany, and spent the night there in that small little village. What did Jesus accomplish that day on that Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago? Why this triumphal entry? Again, Jesus was sending a message to Israel, to us all, that the time for us to make up our mind who this Christ is has arrived. He is more than just a vending machine of miracle making. He is more than just a God who we get him out of the box and we tell him to answer our prayers. He is more than a God who will give us victory after victory and triumph after triumph, and we'll walk with him from glory to glory. He is a God who understands our pain, who knows us, who comforts us, who walks with us, who suffers with us, who knows what it means to feel abandoned, be abused. He is a God who is with us, both when we need him on the hospital bed, but also when everything goes right for us. The Palm Sunday is an invitation not only to believe, but also to be brave, to open our hearts and to see who this God is. Because our faith is a Christ-centered faith. It's not what we can get out of God, but it is who God is. I was at the men's Connect group this week on Wednesday, and it was lovely to share with them and to talk about the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. But at the end of the day, what I rejoiced and enjoyed the most was there were lovely arguments, and we disagree on some stuff and things like that. But what we agree on was the main thing, because of course we're allowed to have debates and we're allowed to share points of view and so on. But what we agree on was that what we seek most and foremost is not just Jesus and his gifts, it's not just Jesus and his fruit of the Spirit, it's not Jesus and his healing powers and so on, but we seek Jesus for who he is. King of kings, Lord of lords, Hosanna. This is what our faith is centered on Christ, and not the benefits that we get out of that. And that our fellowship with one another and with Christ is relationally rooted. Our faith is a committed faith that we develop and maintain a relationship with Christ. For who he is, rather than we can get out of him. I wonder if somebody can go and tell the children and young people to get ready to come, because I'll be finishing 5 minutes as such. Thank you, Helen. Bless you. Because they're going to come and share with us what they've done. And finally, there's our faith is one that is obedience-oriented. We follow because our lives are into God's hand to be transformed, to be made fishers of men, to make us disciples who make disciples. If our faith is based on our situation or circumstances, it will never be committed. It will always be casual. God has placed us exactly where we are, and we must continue to trust him. And trusting him, even when life doesn't make sense, even when the experiences of the past doesn't allow us to come and say, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Because we know deep down there's brokenness, there's abuse, there's pain, there's mistrust, there's betrayal, there's revenge, there's unforgiveness, there's pain. Yet he came humbly on a donkey, that we may worship him. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Can my heart say that? Really? Honestly? Nate, it's time to pray. Let's just pray before the children and young people come back in. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for coming to visit us with your salvation. Thank you for the privilege that we have to worship and respond to your visit among us as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, as we let your word dwell richly within us this morning, as we heard, we would like to respond with open hearts before you through your Spirit. Lord, I want to pray this morning for the people of this congregation, for all of us who are present here, that you'll continue to walk into our lives, those lives who are finding difficult at times and hearts to trust you, who find you aloof and distant, disinterested. Father, I pray that you will help my brothers and sisters to come before you on this Palm Sunday and worship you with unforgiveness, with bitterness, with pain, even with abusive experience in their lives, and cry out to you. And may they hear your words. You are forgiven. Today you will be with me in paradise. May your Holy Spirit continue to be in our works, in our lives, and in all the works that we do, bring glory to your name. May your Holy Spirit guide our church, fill our leaders with your presence, inspire us and guide us. May your Holy Spirit bring healing to our world. May our world welcome you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Who is this? This is our God. This is our God. And we worship him. Amen. I don't know if they are ready or not. As such.